Do you need this?
Yeah, probably. Thank you. I tend to go home. No, I don't. Hi, everybody. My name's Lorena. I'm an alcoholic.
Okay.
Well, for somebody who told me at 8:45 this morning, I've got nothing to say. And I said, all you've got to say is my name's Kat and I'm an alcoholic and you're home. That's it. End of story. Our life drinking was like yours when you was growing up. My daughter and my son lived in a house like that. When you said your mum kicked him out, I was like, I'm that girl. We used to do this all the time. It was crazy. So my sobriety date is October 17th, 1990. I have a sponsor and I have Austrie. In fact, she didn't know this. I was going to ask Austrie to be my sponsor, but my daughter beat me to it. And I had a resentment against that. So yeah, we're immigrants. And I don't come from a family of alcoholics. I met my sister's not. She's one of these women that has two drinks, and she doesn't drink the third because she gets the whirlies. And I said to her, did you ever try for the third? And she said, why would I? And I said, you're never going to be an alcoholic. You can't come. You know, I mean, that was my gig. It was, I don't know what it is about us. We only ever have two of anything. I don't know why we don't ever admit to three, or one even. It's always two. So we immigrated when I was 29 years old. We had two kids, 5 and 3. And the disease of alcoholism had started when I was 17, but I kept tapping that down. I had these kids and I was a stay-at-home mom and I could control it until we went out, and then I couldn't. And then I come here and then my sister takes me to the grocery store and I'm fascinated with all the boxes of cereals you guys have got. You know, you've got a row of it. We had 3 when I left England. And I was fascinated. And she said those golden words. Lorraine, do you want to pick Alan up some beer? You sell beer in the grocery store? Are you kidding? And she picks up 6 for my brother-in-law. And I have a car and I'm just throwing them in because I don't know when I'm coming back. But I just knew at that point I needed it. And so I got a job and I became a barber and it was off to the races. You know, Alan and I have, and I have to thank you for allowing me to share our life with everybody. Because we were a secret for a long, long time. You know, he was a painting contractor, I had a business, but you close the door and the disease of alcoholism reared its head. We're knocked down, drag out drunks. It's not pretty when us do drink. Thank God one of us got sober first, because we probably wouldn't be here. And so we started drinking, and it was fun. And in England, we didn't drink at home. We all had to go out, so you had to make sure you had a babysitter. And my mum was a full-time grandmother, and it was perfect. But when we came here, you guys drank at home. Wow, that was great. And so I started working in this barbershop, and the barbershop was situated between a Christian bookstore and a liquor store. And I'm an atheist, so we didn't go in there very much. And we drank all day. We had 3-hour liquid lunches, and I knew I was never gonna get fired because the boss was my best friend and she always couldn't keep up with me. So I knew I was safe. I knew I was safe. But what happened was Alan started working out of town. And he's in Atlanta and he's doing what he's having to do. And I'm at home and I'm having to do what I'm having to do. And my kids are, you know, by this time, 7 and 9. And there was a night that I tied one on and the kids are in bed. And I come to and I'm in the swimming pool. And I'm in one of those chairs and the beer cans are just bobbing. Now, here I am. I've got these 2 kids who don't know where their dad is. Their grandparents are 5,000 miles away. And they have no way of reaching my sister, the only person living close to us. And I remember thinking, just swig a beer, they'll push it down. And that was my game. I had more than one occasion that God just came and said, Lorraine, look. And I'd just take a slug and now I can't be that. I didn't know what an alcoholic was until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and they opened that book and they read it to me. I knew I was a drunk. I was really proud of that. I could drink men under the table. I'd go over the construction site and, you know, they were wimps except for you know who. I could never keep up with him. And that was it, day in, day out. And towards, I spent 10 years of my 24-year drinking trying not to drink. So when Kat talks about it, I get that. I'm a chronic relapser. I just haven't done it since I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. There wasn't a day towards the end that I didn't think, I can't do it to those kids, I can't do it to Alan. You know, they called me one day from the school and I'm drunk, and they said, Lorraine, we think you'd make a great president. And I said, okay. I didn't even know what it meant, but I said, okay. And the kids loved me because I was drunk and I was funny. And I drove fast, and they sat in the car, and they loved it. But I would look across the room, and I would see my kids. And that look of disgust and horror and shame and all these other ones. So I focused on them. We lived in Nashville, and we lived up in some apartments. And I would go down the hill, and every night, there would be this little girl walking up this hill, and she was always dragging behind. And she had black circles and stringy hair. Now here I am a drunk, but I can take care of everybody else's kids but my own. And I'm thinking to myself, her mother can't be worth anything. I need to adopt her and bring her home. And only one day I turn that corner, and there's this little girl with black circles and stringy hair. And her eyes met. But see, it wasn't that other little girl, it was mine. And our eyes met, and all I could say was, I'm sorry. And I took a slug, and it pushed it down, and I was off, and I was okay. Alcohol worked for me for a long time. And so I went and did a token AA meeting, and they were too happy, and they were talking about God, and I'm an atheist, and it's just not going to work. And they're giving out these stupid coins because somebody's got 30 days. Well, I did 30 days. I couldn't get any longer than 30 days, but I did it on my own. And this old guy comes up to me. Frank Donnell is his name. And he's poking me. And he says, you need to get these women's numbers. And I'm flicking him because he hasn't realized I'm a princess and nobody does this to me. But he just kept doing it. And I saw this woman, and she had big red hair and dangly earrings, short miniskirt. And I thought, I bet she's fun. She wasn't fun at all. She was my first grand sponsor. And 18 months later, I'm laying in that bed, and I don't know how I got there. The house is really quiet like it had always been. I don't know how the kids got to school. I don't know how Alan went to work. But I remembered that crusty old guy. And I remembered her, and I crawled across the bed, and I opened the nightstand, and there was the schedule book. Now, I haven't looked at that in 18 months. And her name was there, and I called her. Well, I sat and thought about it first. I didn't want to jump into something. I knew instinctively that something monumental was going to happen that day. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how it was going to be, but intuitively, I just knew something big. So I had to really think about this. And I called her, and she said, you got any money? I said, oh, I've got $300. Well, the truth of the matter is I had $300 because I couldn't remember whether it was the phone that needed paying or the electric, so I didn't pay either. So I come home from my first AA meeting, and we got no electric, and the phone's been cut off because I forgot to pay it. And she said, do you have a vehicle? And I said, yeah, I've got a twin cab, 150-inch. I'm telling her all this, what I've got. She said, all I need to know is, can you get to a meeting? I said, yeah. She said, I'm not going to be there, but you set time, and I'll be there. And so I go to this meeting, and I walk up the stairs, and you can smell the smoke and the stale cigarettes and the coffee, and I was in love. I've been in love with Alcoholics Anonymous for 30 years, and I don't ever want to lose that. And I sit down, and I'm just, this is it, this is home. I don't know what's going on, but it's great. And then they start talking about God. And I've said that I'm a construction, came in a construction worker, so I've got a mouth like one. And I'm not proud of it, but there ain't a word I haven't used on man, woman, or child. So they're saying God, and I'm saying the F word up here, because none of these people cuss like I did. And they listened to each other when they spoke. In our house, even now, today, we're all together. It's a free-for-all. Who's going to talk the loudest and the quickest? And so I couldn't understand that respect they had for each other. But they kept saying, God. And I kept saying F, because I knew that wasn't going to work. So at the end of the meeting, this woman came across the room to me. And she's been my best friend for 30 years. Because she did what our book tells us to do. It doesn't tell us to stand here and put our arm in the air, I'll be your sponsor, and then walk out the door and get a cup of coffee. It tells us to make the approach, and that is what she did. She sat there and she tried to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous to me, and I'm just going, mom, 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 and I'm thinking, man, she needs a haircut. And, she's hiding behind these bags. She, oh, you know, I could really do it. I'm good, I'm thinking. So we talked, and then the one with the big hair came in, and she went, you, Lorraine? And I said, yeah. She said, you with me. And I'm 39 years old. And I said, yes, ma'am. And it's the first time I'd ever said that to anybody. I had never said it to my parents. I'd never said it to, heaven forbid, to Alan. And I'd never said it to a school teacher either. And I went in this room, and there sat the old guy in the corner, red suspenders, and they threw a big book at me and they read it and they spoon-fed it to me. I got my sponsor that day, and I've never gone a day without a sponsor in 30 years. I don't know what that feels like, and if you have at it. I don't want to, because I don't trust me, even now. And so they spoon-fed me, and then they gave me this sponsor that I didn't like. She was all dressed in purple long before Barney. She had purple bows, she had purple shoes. She later told me she had purple underwear, which was too much information. But I said, well, I don't believe in this God thing. And she turned to the page where it said, God either is or he isn't. What's the choice to be? And she said, if there's no God, you're screwed, because you cannot do this alone. And I went, well, that's pretty tall. So she told me what to do. She gave me a lot of directions, you know, go home, get on your knees and pray and thank God. Yeah, okay. Didn't do that. I was to get up in the morning. I was to get on my knees. I was to ask God to take the desire away. And I didn't do that. But I knew I had to do something. So what I did was I sat at the dining room table. I had a coffee cup in one hand and a cigarette in the other. And I said, whoever she prays to, just take the desire. I can tell I did that, and I went to the meeting. I went to the meeting, and at day five, I thought about this a lot this year, and I can see it now, because when I quit before, I would be driving with my grip on that steering wheel like my life depended on it. I'm not going to drink today. I'm not going to drink today. I am not going to the liquor store from the time my eyes opened to the time I went to bed. But this day, it's day five, and I'm just driving. And I haven't thought about a drink. And that hadn't happened in 24 years. So I thought, well, maybe they've got something to it, because they're still talking about a lot of God, and I'm still cussing up here. And I sat on the bed, and I didn't have a cup of coffee, and I didn't have a cigarette. You know, whatever she prays to. See, God's finger was getting in there. And he was softening up this crust of a woman that told her children they couldn't go to church because there is no God. That's the sort of mother I am, besides the fact I drank and abused them horribly. And so something was happening. And then a week after that, I got down on one knee, because I still might be right. I didn't want to commit to too much here. And the day came when I opened my, I don't even know that I opened my eyes. It was one of those snot-slinging sobs. And I used to say that women know it, but a young man came up to me at a conference and he said, don't ever exclude us because us men do snot swinging socks too. So I swear I don't say that anymore. And I rolled out and I got on both knees. And I pray every morning on my knees, even now today, because I don't know what I'd do without it. I kicked Alan out. And if he was your speaker, he'd say he'd left, but you're stuck with my story, so I kicked him out. No, the truth of the matter is I made his life so miserable, it was pretty mutual, you know. That was the deal. And then when we got back together, he wanted to come to Seattle. And I fought it for 3 years. And I called my sponsor, and she said, you need to do inventory. And she was the queen of inventory. I had 3 shots at the same topic. And, of course, I had a lot to say, so I had to space them out and what I needed to tell her. And she would say, just get the paper out, Lorraine. Let's do inventory. Let's see what you've been up to. I always dreamt for the day she was going to say, let's see what Alan's up to. Right. Or those kids or the dog or anybody. But no, it was always me. And so we were talking about us moving, and she says, you've got to get the pen and the paper out. And I said, okay. And so I did inventory. And she said, you've got an hour, and I call her back, and she says, I'm not going to listen to it. And I said, what? And I've just got these silent tears, and she said, I'm not going to listen to it, so you need to call Frank. Okay, I can do that. But I call my best friend first, because I don't know about you guys, but what us women do is we go around collecting evidence. All of you. We call our friends, they give us the sugar-coated version, and then right at the end, if she's any sort of a friend, she'll say, are you going to call your sponsor? And that's what my best friend always says, even now. But I knew I had to call her, and I'd never heard this woman cuss. I have never heard her cuss up to today. And I said, I'm doing inventory. She said, I think you need to. And I said, I've been instructed, I've got to go and do it with Frank. And she went, oh. And I went, Marge, you cast. She said, I wouldn't do it. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. So I called him. And I called him at 2 o'clock because he was always in the hospitals trolling for drunk so he could bring him and sober him up. And he answered the phone. And I said, Frank, it's Lorraine. He said, hey, baby girl, how are you doing? I said, Frank, I've got an inventory. He said, okay, 1 o'clock at the club. I said, there's no rush. I know you're busy. He said, Lorraine, I said, 1 o'clock at the club. And I said, okay. So I went, and I was sitting there with his feet up on the table, red suspenders, always had them on. And I start reading about moving to Seattle. And he puts his hand out, and he goes, baby girl, you think there's not going to be a Frank Donnelly there? And the dam broke. And I said, yeah, Frank. I'm scared to go there because I'm leaving you all behind. And I don't know what that's going to feel like. He said, what it's going to feel like, Lorraine, is you're going to take that God that you've had all this time. I was 4 years sober. I had a lot of time. And that crusty old guy is there. He doesn't know you're coming, but he'll know it when you get there. And I found that crusty old guy, and I ended up doing an inventory. He just had to be a Marine, and he was tough. But I didn't have him as a sponsor, and I've had an out-of-state sponsor for 25 years of my 30 years of sobriety. This is why we get on, because we know what it feels like to have a sponsor. You're not at your beck and call 24/7, because I was used to that. I was used to having that. But these people were definitely serious about it. They talked about the disease of alcoholism and nothing else. You know, when I was 19 years sober, Alan got cancer, and we lost our house. We filed bankruptcy. And I kept saying, I can't go to meetings, and my sponsors said, oh, yeah, you can. Because by this time, I've changed sponsors. And I did. And I had to tell you the truth. Because life's in session when you're in soup. It doesn't tell us anywhere in the big book I'm going to get a gold visa, a Learjet, and a big mansion. I've had the gold visa and lost that. But and I had a house and lost it. What it tells me is that I will meet calamity with serenity. And I used to hear that, read, and knew that promise was never going to come true for me. But it came true for me. And so I come up here and I said to Kat this morning, we read 164. And I said that when I came up here, that line, we create the fellowship we crave, I knew my very life depended on it. I'd lost them. Frank was back there. The whole gang of them were back there, and I'm here in Seattle. And you guys have meetings for an hour and a half. Can't you get it done in an hour? I mean, what? I couldn't do that. I mean, I did. And so I had to get the fellowship around me. And I walked across the room and I said, do you have a sponsor? She said, no. I said, I'm it. I was scared to death. I've never done it before and I've never done it since. And so I got collected these women. And it's great. These two munchkins are two of the youngest ones. Jennifer is the youngest one. AD is the oldest one with 43 years. Go figure, I don't know what that's about. I am so blessed beyond my wildest dreams. I have less today than I've ever had in my life. See, you can take my house, you can take my car, you can take my money, but you can't take what's in here. You can't take this relationship from this alcoholic, this relationship I have with a God of my understanding. Because what I know today, God only wants what's best for me. And what's best for me is to be here with you. I love you, Austrie. You know, you've got to say the golden word, otherwise you don't get to come to the beach.